Not a sound to be heard. We pause and remember another silent key.
It is with a solemn note of sadness we remember Victor Kilo 4 Bravo Alpha Yankee. VK4BAY, Roy Mahoney from Manly West. Roy was just a few hours short of reaching his 90th birthday when the hand on the key was stilled. Roy had served as a wireless air gunner with 459 Squadron during World War II. His Boston shot down over Crete, the crew rescued by a daring pilot who had landed on an enemy-occupied airfield to pluck Roy's crew from under the noses of the foe. Post-World War II, Roy returned to primary school teaching and, upon gaining his ham ticket, became an avid DXer, gaining his DXCC as a result. He participated in many contests, but the one closest to VK4BAY's heart was the RD contest, which he regarded as the Anzac Day of the Air. He was a foundation member of the Bayside Amateur Radio Society. Roy was both an examiner and trainer, paying particular attention to the regulations section, where so many used to fail when they treated the segment as just common sense, forgetting that there were very particular facts which had to be known. Roy was a keen sportsman and coached school teams through the year, rugby, cricket, athletics, gymnastics. Roy is survived by Beth, his wife of 60 years, three daughters and their families. The Guardian Angels Church in Wynnum was filled to overflowing during the service to celebrate Roy's life and his achievements on Friday, January 13, 2012. George, VK4BSH, who sent us the sad news, became a ham op with Roy on the very same day back in 1984. And Roy was also my teacher for theory back in the old days at the old State High at West End. Rest in peace, VK4BAY, another silent key.
From originating station VK4WIA, this is Q News with today's highlights from the Sunshine State.
Welcome to Q News from VK4WIA. I'm Jeff Emery, VK4ZPP, and I've been thinking. During the TV silly season, when programs may be worth watching or not, I did manage to watch a couple of shows that were based on recent history. Well, recent enough for me to have familiarity with the technology, particularly the electronics. I'm no specialist in this area, but magazines, newsreels and cinema brought the inside of radio stations, TV studios and the ancillary equipment to the attention of people. What struck me was the great effort had been taken to use the correct props for the different scenes. Motor vehicles were age-appropriate, as were the coiffure and clothes, furnishings and decor, as well as cutlery, all fitted the periods portrayed. However, it was the early film editing suites, the Velocity microphones and the TV cameras, which really shone for me. As I understand, very few production houses now maintain large repositories of props, and the properties are sourced from current owners. Now, this would seem that the Boat Anchor Brigade has a real opportunity to be part of the TV stage production and film industries in sourcing and supplying real props, as well as getting some money to help fund the collection and the restoration of items like these. I'm Jeff Emery, and that's what I think. How about you?
Across Queensland, from VK4WIA, you're tuned to Q News. In Brisbane, it's relayed on 147 MHz at 9:30 a.m. Sundays from the Brisbane VHF Group's VK4RBN on Mount Glorious, following the WIA National News Service. I'm Bryn, VK4GF.
Hi, it's Ray, VK4 Charlie Fox, with news from the Redcliffe and Districts Radio Club. Last Monday's technical talk was given by Scott, VK4 Charlie Zulu, on the topic of 6-metre DXing and operator's experience. For Scott, his main interest in amateur radio was DXing, and this meant to him talking to other countries. Scott's ambition is to achieve a DXCC award for 6 metres. For Australia, this is something of a challenge, as all countries are typically more than 1,000 kilometres distant from Australia, and Scott believes it would take him possibly 2 sunspot cycles to actually achieve his goal. When asked why 6 metres, his reply was because it's different to other bands, yet similar at the same time. As it challenges operators both on a technical and capable levels, and it attracts some of the best DXs from around the world. Scott said the band was had a number of myths associated with it, like, you can work the world on a piece of string, it's either open or closed, you have to call CQ to find out if the band is open, it's only ever open in the summertime, and you can work DXCC in less than 12 months in Europe. Scott went on to outline what he believes are the best strategies for an Australian operator to be successful on 6 metres. He said there are both tips for operation and tools that should be used. These include the use of propagation predictors, listening for out-of-band indicators, that is remote TV stations below the band, beacons in the band, good operating procedures, and using the internet to find tools such as the ionization indicators and the MUF maps found at http://www.ips.gov.au and http://www.spacew.com/www/realtime.php. Regrettably, some of the out of band indicators are being shut down, and in the 49 and 50 megahertz bands, especially the analog TV stations, which we'll probably lose totally by 2014. Scott found that the following operating practices provide the greatest success to him. Follow the band plan. Use indicators and tools. Practice the DX code of conduct. Learn CW. Be prepared to listen to lots of white noise. Listen carefully. Contacts are likely to be 5x1. Tune out of band and in band key indicators. Listen again and tune the beacons. For Scott, this summer has been very successful so far, as he's made contacts with 15 countries so far. Despite the heavy rain, which limited numbers attending the club, all club members thought it was the most interesting talk. Certainly gave all members some avenues to follow for more successful operation, whether it be VHF or HF. Thanks, Scott. Well done. Well, that's about it for the moment. So it's 7-3 until next time from Ray, VK4, Charlie Fox and the Redcliffe Radio Club.
Now a roundup of news from the Ipswich and District Radio Club. With the recently upgraded 2-metre repeater on 146900 located at the Nobby near Glamorgan Vale, here's a reminder that the club conducts a daily morning net at 8 a.m. and a Tuesday night feather duster net at 7:30 p.m. local time. The main Ipswich repeater is linked to 438.375 in Ipswich City. It is also linked to 439.300 on Spring Mountain, providing a linked repeater system through 3 transmitters, which now offers improved coverage to most of Brisbane's south side, eastern suburbs of Ipswich and Logan areas. Whether you're a portable, mobile or home station, VK4RAI Ipswich and VK4RSM Spring Mountain offers extended coverage of the region. Both 70cm repeaters require a 91.5Hz tone for access. Every Tuesday night, the club's weekly 80-metre net is on 3.585MHz. Each week, we are keen to hear from first-timers to the club's net, so why not turn off the TV and join us for a couple of overs on Tuesday night. The club meets twice a month at 7:30 p.m. on the second and fourth Mondays, with the second Monday being a social meeting and the fourth the business meeting. The first business meeting of the year is tomorrow night at the clubhouse, Deebing Street, Denmark Hill. Don't forget, you can also keep up to date on news and events at the club website. VK4WIP.com. Reporting from Ipswich, this is Alan, VK4FABR.
Q News. We've reported, you decide.